Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and our conversation today is with Vice Admiral Tom Wilson, Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Well, we know that DIA has described priority management as areas as the four thrusts. Could you tell us more about this?
Well, the four thrusts are really more than just DIA. The four thrusts are goals and objectives which have been chosen by the Military Intelligence Board. Now, I chair the board, but it's representation from the services, the four services, and the unified commands, as well as some other intelligence agencies. And we sat down in 1999, shortly after I took the job, and decided that we wanted to focus our energy on four important areas to really make progress. One is shaping ourselves for the asymmetric threat. We're a defense intelligence community which is built primarily to do force-on-force military intelligence, yet the only real threat to the homeland at this time is an asymmetric threat, whether it's terrorism, information warfare, weapons of mass destruction, proliferation, drugs, or whatever. We can't ditch our job to do regular military intelligence, but we also have to be able to do asymmetric threat work better. So we're trying to reshape our methodologies, our indications and warning procedures, our analytical techniques to address these asymmetric threats in the future. The second area was attacking the problems we have with databases. It's very, very difficult to maintain a up-to-date worldwide database, especially when you're consumed by current crises and challenges. This is certainly illustrated in the Chinese embassy bombing, for example, where a database did not allow us to pick up a targeting error which had occurred. So we're really trying very hard to update the quality of our databases, the currency of the databases, even as we move ourselves into a knowledge base for the future, a web-enabled knowledge base. The third area is enhancing interoperability with the operating forces for the common operating picture. It's a short bumper sticker is how do we make our intelligence products and services plug and play on the operational systems. Dissemination and interoperability have always been challenges, and it's vitally important that we make great strides in this interoperability area for the future. And the fourth thrust, probably the most important, is revitalizing and reshaping our workforce for the future. We are first and foremost a people program. Most of our resources are tied up in our personnel resources and assets, and we have to replenish that workforce. We have to be able to recruit, train, retain, and reward top-quality people to do this important security work for the country. So these are collectively the four thrusts, and under the Military Intelligence Board and working with our four services, five services actually, counting the Coast Guard, and all of our unified commands and sister agencies, we are trying our best to make important progress in all four of these areas, and I'm pleased to report that we're doing so.
Funding levels fluctuate as the intelligence mission has broadened. How do you prioritize given limited resources?
Well, we think that it's most important to understand what the customer needs. Now, our customers are a pretty diverse set. As I said before, it's the warfighters, the defense policymakers, and the defense acquisition or modernization community. We have a very aggressive interaction with customers, for example, the unified commanders in chiefs, the SINCs. To find out what their top priorities for military intelligence are, which of their op plans, operational plans, or contingency plans are most important to support. And then we try to structure our collection, analysis, and support programs so that those customers get what they need. And so I think the way we prioritize is first and foremost an aggressive interaction with customers, regardless of what level they're at.
And what happens when things change? World events happen very quickly. Can they change the prioritization?
Well, certainly they can change prioritization, and we have emerging hot topics, for example, in a non-combatant evacuation in some third world country or a military contingency that arises. And so we can shift our current focus, our current collection, our current analysis there. But it's all vitally important to have a solid database on these countries and on these functional areas so that you can quickly move from one area to the other and be very agile and flexible. So, yes, you can change current priorities relatively quickly, but in terms of long-term priorities, there's a national process for determining those from the national security strategy right on down through the Director of Central Intelligence and the Secretary of Defense that help us establish our priorities.
How do you balance the need for security and limited information distribution with the need to communicate the overall mission and the goals of the organization?
Well, I think the most important security rule to remember is that we're trying to protect our sources and our methods. And to the degree that we can get our product out, our analysis, our information widely disseminated to our customers, and even our processes and our goals and objectives at an unclassified level, the challenge is to do all that while protecting sources and methods. Both missions are important. But I think we can strike the balance which is needed to do all of it.
And how do you build a sense of community amongst the employees, amongst the relationship between the customers, given the need for limited information?
I think we do have a good sense of community in the defense intelligence world. I would agree it's a challenge when you can't always share everything. It may be harder for people to buy into your goals and objectives. But at the broad levels, I think it's classified sources and intelligence and secrets don't really impair our ability to establish priorities and to work with customers and understanding what their needs are.
Could you tell us more about the work that the DIA is doing to promote diversity?
I'd be delighted to. First of all, the intelligence business is all about understanding how other people, other cultures, other countries think and feel about things and will react in given situations. So it's a very diverse world that we're trying to analyze and understand. America is an extraordinarily diverse country. We have people of all races, ethnic backgrounds, city people, rural people, people who have fundamental understandings that we don't all equally share. So there's a great business case for diversity. If we have a diverse analytical workforce, a diverse force of case officers in the human intelligence world, people who understand more about how people who are different from us think and feel and react, we can be a stronger intelligence community. Now, we're trying to promote diversity in DIA and, in fact, all of defense intelligence. We've established stretch goals for diversity, minority hiring. I'm happy to say that DIA, about 28% of our new hires last year were minorities. Certainly, we're working on education and training programs to make sure that our diverse population is elevated and that the pool of people we can choose from for future leadership positions is a diverse pool. And we're doing it because it's important to our business, diversity is. We have some great relationships with, for example, historically black colleges and universities on some academic work in support of our analysis, and we target some of those universities for recruiting. And we use the Joint Military Intelligence College, for example, by offering fellowships to qualified individuals. And so there's a lot of tools we can use to help our diversity profile and improve our ability to operate against the threat.
It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour and our conversation with Vice Admiral Tom Wilson, Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency.